Hey, what's going on? Uncivil Revolt. BMAC is back on the phone with another great guest lined up. You know, one of the most underrated bands that are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they should be, is Thin Lizzy. The Irish blokes who pretty much remind us that the boys are back in town and always go for a jailbreak whenever we get in trouble. Well, the group reunited some years ago with a new singer who keeps the spirit of Phil Lynette alive, and he went on to spin off that group into his own brand called Black Star Riders. And now he's about to put out his fifth studio album, and we're going to be talking about him with it, and I cannot wait. So please help me welcome my fellow Irish brother and someone who would put Bono to shame as a great Irish musician. So please help me welcome the great Mr. Ricky Warwick. What's up, Ricky?
Oh, Brandon, my man, thank you. You're too kind. Thank you so much.
Hey, you know what? When I saw you guys perform at Lost Rages a couple of years ago, I just knew you were a great front man.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's cool. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Oh, it's no problem. It's no problem at all. So, first of all, Ricky, how are you doing with this pandemic that we're in right now? I mean, I know you live in L.A. with your wife and kids, so it can't be easy over there right now.
You know, we're doing okay, thank you. We're making the most of what we can with it. Obviously, it's been with us for, 9-10 months now, and we're just adapting, trying to get through it the best we can like everybody else. You know, good days and bad days like everybody else. I'm just trying to remain positive, try to keep busy, and just try to keep myself focused. We'll get through this.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been not only working full-time at my job, which I just got out of, so great, perfect timing with the call, but I'm also... But I've also been writing for a bunch of albums, telling them what I feel is the best. And of course, I'm getting ready for my top 20 of 2020, even though 2020 totally sucked.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear it. That's the only way is to keep busy, keep focused, and like I said, help is coming and we'll get through this.
Yeah. Ricky, I had a question. When it comes to Black Star Riders, I know that's a spinoff of Thin Lizzy because you do that group with Scott Gorham, one of the original guitar players.
Yeah.
Where did that name come from, Black Star Riders?
I came up with the name. We had the band and the album written, and we needed a name, and we were panicking because we just weren't coming up with anything that we liked. And I watched the movie Tombstone.
Oh,
and it's one of my all-time favorite movies. And I wrote down a bunch of cool little phrases that popped up in the movie, or I just wrote this down in a notebook. And I did the old cut-up technique where you write everything down, you get a pair of scissors, and you cut all the words up, and you just throw them up in the air, and you land on the floor. And William Burroughs used to write like that. Even David Bowie used to write like that as well. And you look at what jumps out at you, the words that jumped out at me were Black Star Riders. Those are the three words that instantly jumped out at me, and I just was like, this is the name of the band. This is it. This is Destiny. And everybody dug it except for Scott Gorham, but he never likes anything at first. So I knew I wasn't too worried about that, but he was outvoted 4-1, and he's like, no, I don't like it. It sounds like a country band name. I'm like, no, your manager, killer name, But he came around, and, here we are, four albums later, 9 years later, whatever, Black Star Riders, that's it.
Oh, that's cool that you got inspired by Tombstone. That's actually one of my favorite westerns, too. But please tell me...
It's a great movie.
Yes, it is. Please tell me one of the name suggestions was Huckleberry.
I know, right? Yeah, I mean, there's so much good stuff that comes out of that, that came out of that movie, but that's just what jumped out at me, and, instantly I was like, that's it, that's the name of the band.
Yeah, I could imagine if you went with Huckleberry, you can come out and say, hello everyone, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Your Huckleberry, yeah, right?
That'd be a great introduction for a group.
It would be, hey, somebody, you give it a paint, you gotta give that to a new young band. I got your band name for you right here.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your brand new album that you got coming out next February entitled When Life Was Hard and Fast, which is going to be a double album. The first CD is going to have all originals written by you, of course, and then the other one, F, is going to have covers of some of your favorite music. So tell us a bit about this project.
Yeah, the covers is really just a bonus disc. You know, obviously the main album is When Life Is Hard and Fast, and that's the one that I'm focusing on. You know, that was recorded with Keith Nelson. People will know Keith from his time in Buck Cherry. He's a great producer, and it was co-produced with Keith, recorded in his studio here in Los Angeles. Lots of loud guitars on Fennig rock songs. You know, we had a lot of fun making the record. We recorded it last April. And, you know, I put together a pretty cool band in the studio. And, yeah, I'm really excited about it.
That's cool, man. And you got 11 tracks off of this record, and the first single, of course, being Fighting Heart. Now, tell me, what does Fighting Heart mean to you?
I think it's spirit, you know. It's a spirit and a strength. You know, that song was kind of a celebration of art and what inspires us and how great art, whether it be music, whether it be art itself, whether it be literature, movies, how much that inspires and helps us. And certainly what's kind of weird is obviously the song was written way before the pandemic, but, you know, without all of those things during this pandemic, you know, where, how much harder would it be that, you know, that art's almost like a salvation, and it gives us so much. And I just wanted to write a celebration of what it's given me throughout my life and how it's inspired me.
That's awesome, man. And you got...
Thanks.
And on this record, you got, of course, your Black Star writer bandmate Robert Crane on there, and you also got Buck Cherry ex-drummer Xavier Murrell.
Yep.
Who plays guitar on this album, besides you, of course?
Myself and Keith Nelson.
Oh, Keith Nelson plays on this
Cherry
album?
Keith also produced the record, and he also plays guitar on the record, too.
Ah, all right. What made you want to get together with Keith Nelson? Were you guys good friends beforehand?
No, we didn't know each other that well. We met and we decided we'd write. We wanted to, you know, Keith's got a great studio here in LA, and since he's left Buck Cherry, he's more into the songwriting and production side of it. And we wrote the song Fighting Heart together, and I took the demo of it home after we finished it, and you know, I think we were writing it for somebody else, not even me, you know. And I listened to it and I thought, you know, this is really cool. You know, Keith and I, we've got a vibe going on here. So I called up Keith and I said, look, I've got a bunch of ideas for our next solo record. You know, what we created today was really happening. Would you be up for getting involved and co-producing it and co-writing some of the songs? And Keith's like, I'm in. And that was it. And that's really how it started.
Oh, wow. And, you know, and how was the process of creating this music? Were you guys just gelling the entire time you were writing down some music?
Yeah, you know, I would come in with a bunch of lyrics or a guitar riff and really sort of play what I had to Keith, and then we'd sort of work on the song and sketch it out together and until we were happy with, you know, until we thought we had it finished, then we'd demo it and then just really move on to the next one.
Huh, all right. And besides, of course, Fighting Heart, we also have You Don't Love Me, I'd rather Be Hit, Time Don't Seem to Matter. And, of course, I think the one that really stood out to me was Time Don't Seem to Matter, because you actually wrote this for your youngest daughter, Pepper, according to the press release I have.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, and she's actually singing on the track with me.
How old is she?
She's 13 now. She was 11 when she sang on the track, but she's 13 now.
Oh, that's...
So, yes. Yeah, so that was a very real proud dad moment for me to have her on the record, you know?
Yeah. When you had it written for her, what did you think of when you were writing the song for her? What popped into your head?
You know, I actually wrote the song. I wrote the song at my cousin's house in Belfast in Ireland when I was back home on tour. And when I have a few days off, I usually go home and stay with family. And I've been on tour for quite a while. And, you know, I've been touring my whole adult life. And the one downside, probably the only downside to what I do for a living is that I miss birthdays, I miss anniversaries, I miss graduations, I miss school concerts. And, you know, that's tough. And I just wrote about being away from, you know, being away from Pepper and how much it was annoyed me. But when we do have time together, about how great it is. And it's obviously the quality of time as opposed to the quantity of time. So the song was kind of written about her. And so I said to her, look, this song's about you, so you're going to have to sing on it. And she was like, oh, no, I don't want it. And I said, no, come on, you're going to sing on it. And of course, she came in the studio and she killed it. It was great.
I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I'm actually anxious now. I'd like to hear how she sings.
Cool, man. Thank you.
Yeah. And, of course, what's great about this record is you got your friends and who's who's of musicians coming to help you on this, including Joe Elliott from Def Leppard, who actually sings backup on the self-titled track. How'd you convince him to do this?
Joe's an old friend. You know, I was Joe's best man at his wedding, and, you know, we're really, really tight. I've known Joe a long time. Joe actually produced my first two solo records, and I sang on a Def Leppard track on one of their albums, you know, so we're tight, and he's a great sounding board for me, and when I'm writing and I'm getting ideas together, I'll call Joe up, and I'll be playing him stuff, and I always value the man that sold 120 million albums. I'm always going to value his opinion. And he's a straight shooter, and he always tells me the truth, and he's been a really good friend. So it's a no-brainer for me to get Joe involved, because it's tight and trusted. He's amazing, and it's just great to have him on the record. It's a real honor.
Hey, he's a great singer, and I'm glad he's helping you out on this one, that's for sure.
Thank you. Thanks, man.
Yeah, so of all the songs on there, besides, of course, Time Don't Seem to Matter, which song would you say you had the most fun working on?
Oh man, you know, it's difficult. I mean, the album was so much fun to make. We had a real good vibe going on in the studio. I mean, the band is really tight. It's great fun working with Keith because it's so laid back and it's really stress free. So the whole process is really nice. I mean, I like, much as I love making the Black Star Writers albums, obviously there's a democracy involved in that, as there is on any band. But with the solo stuff, I can get to be as sort of narcissistic as I want to be, and that's kind of fun. And, you know, I can go down certain roads that maybe I couldn't go down when I'm in the studio with Black Star Writers. I think for me, I really enjoyed recording. I mean, yeah, I'm thinking about it now. Probably, I think the track You Don't Love Me is one of my favorites on there, which is actually the next single off the album, next single and next video off the album. It's just a real simple song, and it came out really good, real powerful, direct song. And they're always the best, you know. The simple ones are always the best.
And of course, that one will feature Luke Morley from Thunder on guitar.
That's right.
So that's pretty exciting to hear.
Yeah. Again, Luke's an old buddy, and you know, we've worked together in the past, and he's a phenomenal guitar player. And I sent him over the track and said, "Hey, man, will you do something on this?" And you know, he sent it back, and the solo on that, as you'll hear, is just incredible. I mean, he just slayed it. It's so great.
Yeah. Now, speaking of celebrations, Ricky, last year you actually got to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the debut album of your old group, The Almighty, Blood, Fire, and mm-hmm. Love. I mean, mm-hmm. how does it feel knowing that album that helped solidify you as a front man, it's just all of a sudden it's 30 years old. Does it feel like it's been 30 years, or do you feel like it was just like yesterday you created it?
It's a great question. Yeah, some days it does. And some days it feels like it was yesterday. You know, it's incredible. It's incredible that the legacy of the Almighty is still very much intact, and it still means so much to so many people. That makes me immensely proud that the band is still relevant and people still care about it to this day. I think that's my overriding sense of you know, achievement with the Almighty. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I can remember it as clear as day. I can remember recording it as clear as day, like it was yesterday. So I guess in that respect, it certainly doesn't feel like it was 30 years ago. Scary.
Yeah, it is scary. So whenever you go on the road and perform your solo stuff, do you sometimes throw in an Almighty song or a Thin Lizzy song just for the hell of it?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, I play quite a few Almighty songs, actually, when I go out with the solo band. And it's like, why not? You know, they're great songs to play. I love them. People want to hear them. Let's do it, you know. And we'll throw in a Thin Lizzy song. Hell, we even play a couple of Black Star Riders songs sometimes, you know.
That's cool. Of all the Thin Lizzy songs that you get to perform, which song would you say is your all-time favorite to sing on?
To sing on? Oh, man. They're such amazing songs. I mean, you know, Phil was just such a great lyricist and a great vocalist.
Very underrated, too.
Just unbelievable. They're just so great. I mean, I love singing. I mean, I know it's cliche to say it, but Jailbreak, that riff and that vocal is just, I mean, I never get it's hard, and it's never, it's always, every time it's on the set list, I look at it, I'm going, Jill Briggs, next time, man. And I just love singing that song. It's just got such a great chorus. I mean, but, you know, they are all wonderful songs to sing, and they're a real honor to sing those songs as well. Really is.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, my favorite Thin Lizzy song of all time has got to be Bad Reputation.
That's a killer song.
I could see you kill
it. Song.
Because I love that little melody riff, the way he does the bass, goes dun 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 dun. Yeah. It's just like, damn.
It's great. You know, another one of my favorites is off the Black Rose album, the first track, Do Anything You Want to Do. I mean, the rhyming in that. I've actually got the first verse of that song tattooed on my left leg.
Ooh.
That's how much it means to me. Yeah.
Well, that shows dedication.
Yep. Yeah. So, Phil was a genius when it came to writing lyrics. He really was.
Yes, he was. And so are you. I mean, you write some really good stuff.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. Really quick, though, on the covers side that was mainly for fun, I mean, it's called The Stairway Troubadour. Sure. Which of the covers did you enjoy recording the most? Because I would love to hear the Johnny Blood. I have yet to hear the Johnny Cash cover of Cocaine Blues. That's one of my favorite songs from him.
Me too, you know, and that's a song I heard a lot as a kid growing up. My dad was a big Johnny Cash fan, so that was a real vibe to cover that. And we had a lot of fun doing that, and that's one I play live quite a lot as well when I'm touring solo. That one was cool. It was cool doing Rat Child acoustically by Iron Maiden, just because it was so different and intricate to do it acoustically. It was a bit of a challenge, but in a good way. I mean, I just love that song. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun, too. I mean, I just, you know, tried to do them acoustically, put a bit of a different slant on them, but still try and make them so people obviously instantly recognize what they are. And, we had a lot of fun making that album, too.
I got to tell you, though, I was really shocked to see one of the songs that you recorded was a Britney Spears song, and not just any Britney Spears songs. It was Oops, I Did It Again.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of irony. Never hurt anybody. And you know what? It's a good song. It's a great pop song. I'm a fan of great songwriting and great pop songwriting. And that's up there with one. That's definitely up there with one of the catchiest pop songs. And I thought, you know, let the sort of rough, rugged, tattooed Irishman have a go at playing this, and it'll ruffle a few feathers. And I mean, I just did it more as a tongue-in-cheek bit of irony thing. But it's a great song.
Yeah, I'll admit,
I'll admit it.
I listened to it a lot when I was a kid. I mean, I was listening to a lot of pop music before I discovered rock. But let me tell you, man,
sure.
I would definitely pay you $100 to get out there in a schoolgirl outfit and sing Hit Me Baby One More Time, just for the hell of it.
Yeah, I don't think I'll go that far. I think I've taken it far enough for the view to say that again.
Fair enough. I'm glad you don't take my offer, seriously. Okay, well, Ricky, I got a couple more questions for you, and let me ask you something. If you were stuck on a desert island, what three albums would you bring with you?
I would bring Black Rose by Thin Lizzy. I would bring in Flammable Material by the band Stiff Little Fingers. And I would bring the best of the Temptations.
Ooh, Temptations. I like that.
Yeah,
can't go.
David Ruffin, man.
Oh yeah, who do you think was who do you think was the better singer, David Ruffin or Dennis Edwards?
I'm a David Ruffin man the whole way. I think he was phenomenal. I just love his voice. You know, between him and Levi Stubbs from the Four Tops, man, it's just there's so much in that. There's so much soul and power in their voices, and their huge inspiration.
I agree. I kind of 50-50 on Edwards and Ruffin because I feel like they both had their strengths. I mean, when you look at Edwards, he was just so rough and he was just so hard edge with his voice. That's why I dug him so much.
Agreed. I mean, it's. I totally agree with you, Brian. It's hard to separate them because they're both phenomenal. But I don't know. There's just something about David Ruffin that always did it and still does it for me. Have you ever checked out his solo records?
I actually will be honest, I have not.
Well, he's got a couple of really good solo albums out. One was a lost album that never got released. I think it just released got released last year or the year before, and it's just it's amazing. It's just the stuff on there is just incredible. It's all worth listening to.
It's just too bad that TV movie didn't really do his character justice.
I couldn't watch it. You know, I just couldn't watch it. It was a bit too slick, and it wasn't gritty enough for me. And I tried to get into it, and I couldn't, you know. It's a shame.
Well, you know, it's a TV movie. They're not supposed to be so gritty all the time.
I know, right? They're toning it down, yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, well, just wait till somebody decides to put out an actual movie. Then maybe we'll get down to the dirty nits of The Temptations.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want the warts and all. I want everything. That's what I want.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what my three albums would be. I would probably take...
Purple.
I would probably take Van Halen 2.
Yeah.
I would also take Pantera's Cowboys from Hell.
That's a great record.
Yeah. And I think the other one, and my list changes all the time, just what the mood is. I think my third one would probably be Pearl Jam's 10.
Yeah, I mean, those are classic records. I don't know if you know my old band, The Almighty. We got to open up for Pantera for 7 weeks around Europe on the Vulgar Display of Power tour back in 94.
Wow,
that was insane. You know, it was just surreal. Really great.
Did you get to do shots with Dimebag? Because I heard he was such a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was always carrying a bottle of Crown Royale with him.
Every night, man. He was a sweetheart. He really was.
Yeah, may he rest in peace. And, you know, speaking of resting in peace, I mean, this year we've definitely lost our fair share of rock heroes. That included Little Richard, Neil Peart, and, of course, Ginger Baker. And, of course, the one that hit me the most was Eddie Van Halen.
For sure. You know, really sad. Really sad. All innovators, all amazing. Thank God that they leave us the music, you know, that they have.
Yeah. It's just a shame that we won't be hearing new music from them. That's the
I know. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things, Brandon. We're the sort of, you know, I'm probably a good bit older than you, but my generation... You know, we're the first generation where our rock stars are starting to die from old age, and that's never happened really before because, you know, rock music really started in the 50s, so all the pioneers now are either gone or they're really getting up there, and it's sad. You know, it's life, and there's nothing you can do about it, but it's still pretty sad.
Yeah, the only...
Every year we're losing more and more, you know?
Yeah, the only, like, real true rock hero from the 50s that's still alive and was... A pioneer is Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, of course. Jerry Lee, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And we lost Chuck Berry a little while ago. And as you said, Little Richard's gone this year. And yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and then 14 years ago, we lost the great James Brown. So, you know, just losing guys like that just really hurts.
Yeah, I know. I got to see James Brown, which was amazing.
Oh, you lucky bastard.
Yeah, I did. I got to see him play. I got to see Chuck Berry as well, right before he died, too.
That's cool. Well, luckily for me, I got to see Eddie Van Halen in 2012 while he was still killing it on stage. And to this day, it was still one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, I mean, just phenomenal. I mean, what an innovator. What a son. What a guitar player. But, you know, it's just great.
But I still say that Sammy Hagar was a way better singer than David.
You're a Sammy fan, right?
I like both of them for different reasons, but if I had to go with one, I'd go with Sammy because I also love his attitude and I love his solo records and I have his books. I even have his cookbook.
He seems like a really righteous guy. I've never met the guy, but he just seems to really love his life and he's very positive about a lot of things, which I always like that.
Yeah, he did this TV show for a while on Access TV called Rock and Roll World Trip, and he would go and meet with other musicians, jam with them, talk about their life, and you know, he was just and he just loved it. I mean, you could tell that this guy was full of life. He didn't let anything slow him down.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and just like you, you don't let life slow you down. You're putting out a new album, which we're very excited to hear. And, you know, we can't wait to see you on the road and see you and Black Star Rider on the road again. I mean, when
absolutely
when this whole pandemic bullshit passes by, I am so there to see you again.
Right on, man. Well, obviously, we can't wait to get back out there when it's all safe and sound. You know, it's been tough not being able to tread the boards and play live.
Yeah, it's been tough for us not to go out there and go into mosh pits or go in the photo pit and take good shots of you guys, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, I had to literally I actually saw the live stream of Fozzie a few weeks ago, and I had to shoot the entire thing on my phone camera, and they actually turned out not bad.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. All right, cool. So before we go, we got one more question, and it's a big one, Ricky. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. Who would you prefer listening to growing up, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
The Beatles.
Just when I was starting to like you.
And I love the Rolling Stones, but the Beatles.
All right. Well, why the Beatles?
Again, more songs. I mean, the Rolling Stones are more bluesy. Don't get me wrong, they have some amazing songs. The Beatles are just defining. I mean, they just changed everything. I'm a huge John Lennon fan. I love his sarcasm and his lyrics. I love the tone of his voice. They have songs that just resonate with me, and have resonated with me my whole life. A little more than the Rolling Stones do, but don't get me wrong, I do love the Rolling Stones. But you put a gun to my head and ask me to pick, I'll pick the Beatles.
And hey, nothing wrong with that. I personally go with the Stones because, like you said, I love their blues. I loved how they were able to take that blues and incorporate it into different styles, and it would always sound good.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, two phenomenal bands, and they both, like you said, shook up rock and roll and changed it forever. You know, I don't think we'd be here if it wasn't for the way those bands came about and what they've done, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Plus, here's a little interesting.
How can you not love Keith, right?
Yeah, who doesn't love Keith? And here's a little interesting fact. My grandfather, who's a pastor today, actually opened up for the Stones back in the 60s.
No, that's incredible. Wow, how cool is that?
Yeah, let me just tell you this really quick. They did three shows that day. It was during those state fair tours where they do three shows. And each show, the Stones would wear the same thing over and over again. It was a hot summer day, and they were sweating like crazy. Like, you can tell the energy was there. So my grandfather says on the last show, he's wearing a brand new suit. He does his thing. He gets off stage. He passes by the Stones, says hi to them. But he notices that they smell terrible because they have not showered yet. So the manager goes up to them and they say, hey, listen, some of the fans and some people that passed by said, you guys are really smelling right now. So would you mind just changing outfits before you go out there? They're like, oh, sure, no problem. So they do that. A few minutes later, they go out there, and my grandfather can attest to this, and so can the manager, I believe. They just switched with each other's outfits.
No, that's fantastic. What a great story.
Yeah, I love telling that story. I mean, my dad also, God rest his soul, got to actually bounce for the Rolling Stones for one of their shows in Anaheim, and he was actually standing like 4 feet away from Mick Jagger.
Wow. Yeah. That's killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey, Ricky, thank you so much for talking with Unsilver Evolved. We do appreciate your time.
I appreciate your time, and thanks for having me on.
No problem. This was Ricky Warwick, and be sure to go get his brand new album on February 19th, entitled When Life Was Hard and Fast. And be sure, and if you guys are fans of Black Star Riders, be sure to go get their last album. What was the last album called again? It's skipping my mind.
It was called Another State of Grace.
Another State of Grace. That's right. And that was a great record.
Thank you.
Yeah. Be sure to go pick up that. And be sure to be on the lookout for Ricky Warg when he comes to a city near you. You can follow him on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And be sure to check out all news updates into whether or when he will get on the road again once this whole pandemic flies by us. So, Ricky, thank you very much. And I am holding in my hand right now a shot of Proper 12 Irish Whiskey in your honor. So I say to you, cheers, have a good rest of the year, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I will see you on the road. Salud.
Thanks. Sounds good, bro. Cheers, Brandon. Thanks again, my friend.
Take care, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.